about.
What's this?
Oh, that's a CB. What'd you do with that? As you push down on that thing and hold that other thing down, and it makes your voice go up in radio waves.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Never meant to cause you any sorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Never meant to cause you any pain.
Yeah.
Only wanted one time to see you laugh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, God.
Only wanted to see you laugh.
Yeah.
In the purple rain. Purple rain. Purple rain.
Smell it.
And now.
It's a bright and shiny day. It's a bright and shiny day. Everyone in the office is noticing your nipples today.
Our feature presentation.
How does he know that?
Morning, everybody. Because he's magic, because he's Jed the Fish.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday morning, the 11th of April.
I enjoyed hearing you and Dwight Yoakam do that duet.
Oh, did you? I think it's my least favorite of all of them. I can take Beer Mug. I can take all of them. But with that song...
Well, that song is a travesty in itself.
Yes.
And then when you add you to it, it just makes it a lot better.
No?
No. That's not what you're saying.
Yeah, I thought opposite. Mm.
Is the song just the opposite of sexy? That's why you can't, endorse it?
It's awful. It should never have happened. Mm. And it's funny because apparently Delta plays it as you're boarding the plane.
That song with the remix?
People tweet all the time, oh my God, I'm sitting in the plane, captive audience, listening to the song.
Oh,
that's
my
upsetting.
God. Why would they play that song?
They hate you, apparently.
Yeah.
I think some people like it, you guys. I think that's the
Don't
answer.
Be
that's
ridiculous.
Crazy. Stop it, okay. Bean.
That is crazy, I guess. Anyway, we're here.
Yes. Yes,
and,
we are.
We're going to do a show.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And that starts now.
I thought 6 o'clock. We started at 6, right?
I mean, on the air at 6.
The warm-up.
This is our warm-up, yeah.
Okay. I thought this might be a good opportunity to squeeze in a little You Be the Judge, if you don't mind.
You be the judge right now. You can be the judge right now. You be the judge.
Here comes the judge.
You be the judge right now. Come on now and be the judge.
Guilty.
You haven't heard the details of the case yet. This has not actually gone to court yet. No one has been sued yet, but there's no question this is where this is heading.
Okay.
The Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Fort Lauderdale, Florida is in the news. A gambler named Jan Flato was playing on a slot machine the other night. He had a player's card in there. You know, you load it up with money, so you're not actually carrying around a bunch of coins or cash or whatever. And he was playing the slot machine. And he's there with a female friend. And by the way, I'm very curious. You know, there's never enough information for me.
Sure.
I'm very curious about the relationship between these two, because he looks like a hideous troll, and she's really hot. Okay.
Oh, that never happens. Yeah, I question it too.
So I'm wondering what's going on with those two, what their actual relationship was, and that does come into play when you see what happened.
All right.
So, you know, slot machines these days, you don't really pull a handle on a lot of them. You just push a button. And he, at one point, while playing the slot machine, said to his attractive 35-year-old friend Marina Navarro, hey, why don't you press the button one time for luck? Well, I think
happened. Oh, no.
So he's sitting in the chair, and it's his session, so to speak.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
So he says, hey, sweetie, why don't you push the button for luck? And then she says, are we still talking about the slot machine? And, of course, the lights flash, and they win $100,000. That's the jackpot. $100,000.
And she wants 50% of it.
Oh, she wants it all.
What?
Kevin. She wants it all.
Oh.
So he's delighted, of course, because it's his money.
Sure.
And he's just won $100,000. Well, not so fast, she says, but I pressed the button.
But did she put in any money?
No, I don't think that matters.
Allie, you are correct. According to the casino, they did take up the dispute with the people in the Hard Rock, and they analyzed the video, and it showed that she pushed the button, which they say makes her the rightful winner of the jackpot.
It's
their
crazy.
Policy is the
what?
Person who pushes a slot machine button or pulls the arm is the person who wins the jackpot. Here's my favorite paragraph in the article. Not only did Mr. Flatto lose the cash he put into the machine, but he has barely heard from Navarro since she walked out that night with the jackpot.
What a surprise. I can't believe that.
That night, she even asked armed security to keep an eye on him as she walked out.
Oh,
I said, Marina, what are you doing? As she gets up and walks out.
Marina was looking for her earliest opportunity to do that.
She had no idea it would come in the form of $100,000.
Right. Yes, exactly. All she was thinking before that jackpot hit is, how do I get out of having sex with him tonight?
Wow.
So, he has texted her and it has gotten ugly. He has texted her things like, having me as an enemy, not good. We'll see who made a big mistake. It won't be me. Mm. She's dropped off the radar here. And like I said, it hasn't ended up in court yet. But I can't imagine he won't at least try to sue for that kind of money, right?
Well, if it's right there in the rules of the casino, he's not going to get a dime. So
yeah, I guess so, but it seems like it should make some difference who put the original money in the machine.
But if you think about it, what if you put money in a machine and then you just you get called back to your room to do something? That machine is just sitting there.
Right.
Someone hits the button. It's $100,000. Doesn't that person get the money?
I mean, yeah.
I would assume so,
I would
because
so.
You're gone. I don't know. It just seems like if you're the if she put in a dollar, fine.
Yeah.
But if he put in the dollar,
no, it's an awful rule and it's horrible. And she should obviously give him $50,000 of it.
But I can certainly understand it from the casino's standpoint, though, because they don't want to be involved in this kind of dispute. So they need a hard, fast rule, which is who pushed the button. They don't want to, because there's no way to prove whose money was in there at the time. You know what I mean? They don't know what kind of arrangement people make, how they split up their money before they get into the casino. So they'll never be able to adjudicate that. At least with this, they can look at the video and see who pressed the button.
What if they both press the button like they're holding hands?
Ooh. Then what?
Right?
Mr. Flatto's advice for other gamblers is don't ever let them touch the button. Don't ever let them touch anything for luck, because they can do to you what Marina did to me. So she is hot and has $100,000, and he is not and has nothing.
Poor
so
Jan.
If this is you be the judge, you guys are okay with this?
I mean, if it's in the rules, there's no way to rule any other way, but it sucks.
Sucks to be him.
Yeah.
Right?
There you go.
That's our ruling. That's our ruling.
We did good work.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
oh, God. F you guys.
Right? Bean says he has a new job for Beer Mug.
I do. Yeah. I'm very excited to introduce Mugs to this, and many of our other listeners will want to get on this, too, while they can.
Huh.
Hmm. Bean won't tell us what it is, but we'll find out coming up here in the 6 o'clock hour.
I'm telling you what, it's perfect. For Mugs. I have, you know, I'm thinking about Mugs. He's in a dead-end job here at K-Rock. He's not going anywhere. He's got no ability, right?
Oh, wow.
And no future.
A little harsh.
But I'm looking out, I'm as United Airlines would say, I'm looking to reaccommodate him.
Right.
And I think, based on his skill set.
Is the Earth overbooked and they're taking Mugs off?
No.
Yes, I feel like, and I'm so happy, as his friend, I'm so happy to be able to turn him on to this that I think he legitimately and seriously is going to love.
I'm concerned.
It's a job you've never heard of before, but it pays good money. It's not that difficult, and I think Mugs will love it.
Do you smoke weed and just eat?
Well, you just have to wait and see.
Okay.
That sounds great.
Also on the show today, we have Lamorne Morris, who we love so much.
He's TV's Winston from New
Girl. TV's Winston. We have your tickets for Coachella Weekend 2 on today's show, and comedian Eddie Ift comes in the studio as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Clippers playoff tickets on the show today. Coachella tickets, too. Plus, Ralph Garman, ladies and gentlemen, stepping in for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Goddamn right.
Yep.
People, with you all looking at me, with your blonde hairs. Can't trust him. Hey, this morning, if you're a Star Wars fan, do yourself a favor. Tune in to Good Morning America. This morning is the big announcement. The big, big announcement that they won't tell you what it is, but it's going to be big.
Oh. So we know it's an announcement.
It's special. It's big.
Okay.
It's big.
About Star Wars.
Yes. It is the 40th anniversary of the original Star Wars film as they celebrate on Good Morning America. Or as it's called now, Star Wars A New Hope for you kids. Back in the day, it was just Star Wars. It's all we had. Instead, Star Wars. Daisy Ridley and Mark Hamill will be making the announcement this morning. And then the buzz is that it's something that that will be going on that fans can participate in to mark the occasion of the 40th anniversary that somehow will tie into charity or some BS. So pay attention. I'll be following the story, and I'll bring it to you as soon as we know what's happening, because it should be happening on the East Coast anytime now. Speaking of movies, this is the way to get people into church. You've seen that poster from the Mexican Catholic Church? Showing Jesus hanging out with Captain America and Iron Man?
No.
Right? Right?
Yeah.
Jesus is my Avenger.
No.
Right?
No.
I mean, I'm not sure.
That's what they're going for, and they're right. It is a youth-based church group in Mexico that's trying to attract more young people to attend their Holy Week services. So they've got a poster at the church of Jesus hanging out with Captain America and Iron Man. How useful would Jesus be on the Avengers, by the way?
Well, you wouldn't need the other two.
He'd be the best Avenger.
Right.
Why wouldn't you need the other two?
Because he could do everything.
He can't fire repulsor rays out of his palms like Iron Man. Oh, can he?
Yes.
From what story in the Bible did you remember that from? Him firing rays out of his palms.
Hold on.
Deuteronomy 12.
Oh, Deuteronomy 12.
12.
He'd be useful, but he can't do everything. If you got hurt in the field, he could help you there.
Right.
He could cure you, probably, if you got blinded or something. He could walk on water, which would come in handy.
That would come in handy, sure. Mm-hmm.
But let's not get crazy, Kevin. Oh, you wouldn't need the other two. This is everything. He's just Jesus, okay? He's just a good guy.
Wow.
All right?
Slow down.
Right?
But if you got Jesus, do you also have access to his dad? Because I feel like his dad is in Jesus' back pocket. He could call in for help anytime he wanted.
I don't think it works that way.
Oh.
I don't think Jesus calls the shots on God. I think maybe it's the other way around.
But maybe he calls his dad and is like, hey, we're having a problem.
Yeah, dad's famous for turning him down when he's got problems sometimes. Oh, why have you forsaken me? Ring a bell! Holy crap!
Why is Ralph so angry?
Why is he purple? What's happening?
Not sure.
This makes me laugh. Anyway, good move, Mexico. Smart.
Sure.
On your part. Jaden Smith is looking for a CEO for his company. I think Kevin should audition. Man.
What is his company?
Misfits Rep. It's his clothing line, but they also produce a zine, as he calls it. a mystery school. They got a mystery school.
A mystery school.
Come on.
How about that?
Yep. Video production house, photo blog. It's got a lot going on. Now, he says he doesn't need any help with the creative. Because he and his sister, Willow, have that handled.
Sure.
They handle the creative side of things. But he did tweet out to his followers, I need a CEO for Misfits Rep Clothing to help me with the business aspect. So he's going about the right way. He's putting a tweet out to find himself a CEO. And I think it's going to be very successful. And I'm looking forward to the zine as I attend their mystery school.
Sure. Mystery school.
I want more info on the mystery school.
You can't have more info
because it's a mystery. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
My whole life has been a lie.
Why am I yelling at Allie so much?
Not sure.
No, it's funny, concerning though. And
I find it
kind of turning me on.
It's hilarious. Oh, shut up, Bean. I got a bag right here with your name on it, Bean. Don't you stay in your lane.
Already, back in the desert.
Oh, Bean.
And you may not have heard of Australian rapper Terry Peck. Or as he's known to his fans there down under as Tupac.
Nope.
I like it.
But he's the best.
Yes.
And he's Kevin's kind of guy. He is Kevin's guy. He was arrested Sunday because he was eating at a restaurant there in Main Beach in Queensland in Australia. He sat at his table. Sat at his table and ate two whole lobsters, a baby octopus, 12 oyster shooters, along with all the beer he could manage to wash it down till he was good and hammered and full. And then when the bill came for $621.30, he got up from his table and ran into the ocean to avoid paying his check.
Did he just keep swimming?
Well, he was hiding underwater.
Hiding?
Out in the ocean before being apprehended by police riding jet skis.
Come on.
That is not much of a getaway plan.
Police have charged him with stealing and two counts of assaulting a police officer as he fought them off as they tried to pull him out of the ocean. He claims the food was overpriced and the lobster was overcooked, and that's why he felt like he didn't have to pay his tab. His lawyer told the local news, alcohol's an issue for Terry.
You think?
And it is something he needs to address. So, I'm all about T-Pec. I'm team.
Would you say that's crikey?
It is. Yes, beer mug, it's crikey.
I want to hear some
isn't
of T-Pec.
Isn't that such a Kevin, though? Like, I'm not paying this. Let's go. Let's go out in the ocean. Let's get away from the restaurant in the ocean.
I definitely want to hear some Tupac now. I want to hear him rap.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, but the next hour I'll bring one of his hits, Ozzy, 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 Oi, Oi, Oi.
Okay.
Which is a rap about Australia's high taxes.
I'll bet it's great.
It's a big hit. It's a big hit. You don't know about Tupac.
I'll bet it's great, I said.
You don't. You don't bet that at all. Today's celebrity birthday, Joss Stone is 30. Whatever happened to Joss Stone? She was singing, she was acting, she was doing everything.
She still makes the occasional record.
I don't like it.
You'd like her to be more high profile because she's very talented.
She's talented and amazing. She was on The Tudors, remember? No?
No.
She played one of Henry's wives, Anne from Germany. Good actress. Very, very lovely singer. 30 years old today. Speaking of lovely, Alessandra Ambrosio. She's a lovely model. Does good work. She's 36. And Trisha Helfer. Wow, we're 3 for 3 today.
Right?
She's 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
LA and OC's alternative rock. This is the world famous K-Rock at the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:07.
Wow. Mr. T, you guys. I mean, he was just here yesterday, and he just seems so vital. And so young and so alive and so full of life, and now he's gone.
He is all those things.
Now Mr. T is gone.
He's not gone. He got kicked off Dancing with the Stars.
What?
But he's fine.
I heard he was eliminated.
Right.
I feared the worst from that.
From Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, not from life?
Yes.
No.
Ridiculous. That's fine. Guys, we had so much fun with Mr. T yesterday, and we thought, we don't usually do this, but we thought, if you weren't with us when T was here, you missed the magic.
Yeah.
And he's inspiring, isn't he?
He is.
Everybody, one of your favorite people ever?
Yeah.
Our friend comedian Eddie Ift joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. The very funny Lamorne Morris from New Girl will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. And by the way, looking ahead, Jonah Ray comes in on tomorrow's program.
All right.
Also, Wheel of Bad Animal Voices, Jim Rome and Dr. Drew on Thursday. And, of course, all week long, we got Clippers tickets and Coachella tickets. A lot of good stuff this week on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Why is Beer Mug in here?
Because I have a new exciting opportunity for my man Muggs. That's why.
What do you got?
Muggs, I was thinking about you.
First of all, when somebody says they have a new and exciting opportunity, that should raise flags in your head that perhaps you're not going to be here long. Perhaps you're overbooked on a United flight.
That makes me sad.
Maybe that's the situation.
That's the new euphemism for you're getting fired.
Right.
Muggs, I believe it or not, we're friends, right?
Question mark?
Are we not friends? I thought we were friends.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really hang out after.
That's the name of Bean's autobiography.
I thought we were friends.
No, but I thought we were friends.
Yeah, we're cool.
I mean, no one. I don't know how to explain it. Nobody is friends with you like they are with everybody else. Because everybody else hangs out and does things together and, you know, meets up, goes out, has social life.
Well, you don't need any of that nonsense.
I'm just saying it's different. It's a different relationship. Okay, so he's a business friend of yours.
Allie, are we friends?
I think we are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's
what I wanted to hear. So I think a lot about Muggs, and I think about his situation, and I think, you know, poor Muggs, he's a great guy, he's a hardworking guy, but he's going nowhere in this business.
How dare you? And soon he's
going to have alimony to deal with and child support, and I'm just thinking of all these things that Muggs is going to need money for.
I think he's getting divorced, Bean.
Eventually, come on.
Okay, all right.
So I keep my eyes peeled for new opportunities. And Muggs, I got so excited when I saw this. This is you might have to move to France for this.
Is that all?
I think you might have to move to France, but just for a couple of months. Scientists for the Institute for Space Medicine and Physiology are looking for volunteers to spend 2 months in bed so they can study the effects of microgravity, the state of virtual weightlessness on the human body.
I got that on lock.
Right?
Oh, man.
I don't know. I think Bean's going to be fighting you for it. And Allie just had her hand up as well.
So what they're doing is they realize that you send astronauts up into space, and this prolonged weightlessness can affect the cardiovascular system, and it causes problems like vertigo and low blood pressure, bone density loss, muscle atrophy, things like that, side effects like that. So they're trying to do experiments on Earth so they can recreate the what it's like to be weightless in space on a long spacecraft. And then they're trying to develop ways to assist the astronaut in getting all of that back when they come back from space. I think this sounds like a fascinating study. So you go in, Muggs. They do tests. They run a bunch of tests on you so they know what the baseline is. And then you spend 60 days in bed on your backs with your upper body positioned in a slight downward incline. This simulates the effects of weightlessness.
What are you doing for 60 days?
It shifts blood toward the upper body, causing the same changes in blood volume, cardiac performance, and vascular resistance as in space. Okay? So you're not allowed to get up to eat. You don't get up to take a bath because you're in a space capsule, Kevin. Oh. They have to recreate what it's like being in a space capsule.
Right.
You can't get up to go to the bathroom.
What?
You just let it go.
You're bedpanning is what you're doing.
Question. Bedpanning and with no gravity turns ugly.
Okay, but you have gravity on Earth. This is just test for the people in France on Earth. Okay, this isn't poop floating in the air.
Question me.
Hold on, I'm not done. So you're required to keep at least one shoulder touching the bed or its frame at all time. In other words, they want you're a veal, essentially.
Wow.
They want you moving as little as possible. So they bring you food. Now, I assume, maybe this was your question, Muggs, I assume you're watching all the TV in the world, right?
TV. Because what else could you do?
Yeah.
Read. And I guess you could read.
Masturbation?
Oh, my.
I don't see any reason why you couldn't, as long as you stay
because
with your
of
back
zero gravity afterwards. That's
right.
Why.
There's no zero gravity, Kevin. This is in France. It's not on the moon.
But you said they were recreating zero gravity.
I don't need that flying around all willy nilly.
Right?
That is disgusting.
No. You guys are misunderstanding. They're recreating the zero gravity by having you lay in a particular position so that the blood goes in the right direction. That's all.
Not a zero gravity place that you go into to try it out.
No. You're just laying in a bed.
Well, what kind of
you 2 months for that, and then they do another series of tests to help you recover from your weightless 2 months, as they call it, and an additional test and see how the experiment works with the various supplements and foods and things. So, Muggs, I don't know how interested you are in this, but are you a non-smoking male between the ages of 20 and 45 who is healthy and in good physical shape?
Define smoking.
Yeah. Can he vape?
Can he vape and or weed?
It doesn't specify what. I think when they say non-smoking, don't they generally mean people who smoke cigarettes?
I think
people who are addicted to cigarettes, right?
Yeah.
So that's you. You're between 20 and 45, healthy and in good physical shape. Ish.
Not so sure.
2 months in bed. What do you think? How much would the pay have to be, Muggs, for you to think about going to France for this? Because you come home with a big paycheck for what's left of your family.
2 months.
2 months in bed with, like, essentially zero movement.
Right.
I mean, it's not
that's
for everybody.
Hard. That's hard work.
There are people who would hate it.
Look,
but then
I
look at somebody like you, and I think you would love it.
You think, oh, you're just laying in bed. How hard could that be? I mean, but you can't move. I would have to – I would take no less than $50,000 for 2 months.
$50,000?
Yeah.
That's a lot for just
because,
laying there.
Because what if I get what if I get messed up? What if the effects do take place and my muscles are atrophied and I'm
sure they won't let that happen, like bed sores or anything. They can't let that happen.
They can't. And
plus,
by the way,
your muscles are already atrophied.
Yeah. Look at these things.
And Muggs, hundreds of men and women have gone into space for far longer than 2 months and have come back and are fine.
Yeah, but they're moving around. Well, I mean, they're weightless, but they're allowed to move throughout the cabin.
Well, I'm sorry to say it doesn't seem like it makes your minimum
amount. Not 50?
What?
It's not $50,000. It's $17,000 for the 2 months. By the way, that's a pretty good piece of change, I think. Isn't it? For a couple
for
of months, 17 grand?
Well, I guess.
I mean, if you do the math,
you take the taxes out of it and you get like $29.
Yeah. And you have a catheter and you've been pooping in space.
Right?
I don't like it.
So I went to all the trouble to source this job for you, and you're telling me you're going to decline.
I think we're all out, Bean.
No, all of you are no's.
All right, Bean, you.
Yeah.
You, Bean.
Allie, you could watch so much Gilmore Girls if you were in this study. Come on.
I would be pooping in a bedpan.
Yeah.
Right?
That seems
no.
bad. Bean, you would do it, though. You
I'm
would do it.
I'm tempted to call them.
You would do it.
I'm not going to lie. There's a lot I like about this.
When do you start?
Yeah. Monday. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Oh,
this
my
is
God.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin!
6:51.
He is back.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Did you start talking before you turned your mic on?
No, it'll be ridiculous.
He's the guy who turns the microphones on, and he was talking into his own microphone before he turned it on.
Kev Dog, eat dog.
Kev Dog. He's back, he's rested, he's ready.
I usually go from right to left, so I start with Bean, and then I turn on Allie, and then I turn on Ralph,
yeah,
and then I turn on
talking.
Myself.
You, yeah. You were talking.
I started talking in that process.
Into your microphone.
That started happening, yes,
before
Kevin, I was on.
Are you not the one that always comes out of breaks? So maybe turn yours on first instead of last, do you think?
Nope.
Or maybe
okay.
don't
okay.
speak
don't
until
like
you know it's on?
I think I'm doing well.
No.
and just so, because I missed the news,
yes.
we're now just on 0.7. That's where we are on the FM dial now, just 0.7.
Yep.
Is that all they got out?
Okay. That's all we heard.
6:52, Rob is here. Time for another look at the show biz beat. What's going on?
And where do you turn the gravity off when you're on Earth, Kevin,
a
in
lot
France?
Of people are confused by
where
that.
Where is the... I'm just going to go to a no-gravity place.
I thought they
you
had
were
like,
talking about the no-gravity place.
Yeah, I thought they had like an anti-gravity that they could recreate it on Earth. I thought they could do that.
You think they can turn gravity off on Earth?
Not turn it off, but recreate those conditions. Yeah.
Like a simulator.
Yeah.
I think that's why you have to go up into a plane.
You have to do the parabolic plane to recreate no-gravity.
Right. I know you can do that. I just
well,
assume
how
that they
it
could
on
also...
Earth?
Well, I can't explain it.
Well, why would you think they have it?
You know, it's not the first time Kevin's been confused by gravity.
Oh, come on!
Yeah.
Tell me, Chip. Come on!
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Gravity turns the ship around.
Yeah. That was part I wrote down where I was like, that makes me uncomfortable, because what if when that doesn't happen?
Look.
Well, gravity's a constant, Kevin. It'll happen.
But
yeah,
what if
it doesn't
that
turn
out.
The ship around?
It's a slingshot.
Right.
It's
but what if you keep going? There's a lot of what ifs.
No.
That's why I'm not doing it.
Hey, Kevin, you know what? Of all the what ifs, gravity is not one of them.
Right.
Gravity is the one sure thing in this whole equation.
Could you get stuck in gravity, though, is what I'm asking.
Could you get stuck in
yes,
gravity
around the moon?
What does that even mean?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It was a half hour with Kevin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Gravity's hard.
It is, apparently, for some people, it's a very elusive concept.
Pretty sure I meant orbit. But I'm
but
dumb.
But not what you said at all.
At all, no, I know. I'm aware.
But what if gravity doesn't work? And apparently in France, they have a place where it does, you know, there's no gravity.
My question specifically...
It sets all the red flags off in your head.
What if when that doesn't happen was my question in the middle of that.
Yeah.
So that was a success. Success.
Holy Toledo.
This is why I tune into 0.7 every morning.
Right?
Well, we know what the big Star Wars announcement was on Good Morning America this morning. To celebrate 40 years of Star Wars... It's just a,
and
it's just
now a breaking news bulletin.
It's just an Omaze thing. It's just a fundraising Omaze thing.
Oh. Well, that's not...
It's a pretty cool one.
Thing.
Yeah, money goes to UNICEF and the Starlight Children's Foundation. And you can win one of three amazing Star Wars experiences, or you could win the grand prize, which means you get to do all three of them. Here is Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley talking about what Star Wars fans could get if they go to Omaze and enter into this contest.
So we've teamed back up with Omaze to give you a chance to win a new Star Wars experience every week of the campaign.
Including an overnight stay at Skywalker Ranch, a chance to appear in the upcoming Han Solo movie, and my personal favorite, a trip to LA to join me and the cast at the world premiere of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Enter any week and you're in the running to win the grand prize, all three of these incredible once-in-a-lifetime experiences.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Right.
Allie, you gonna enter?
Already did.
What?
Yeah, a little bit.
No moss grows on you, lady.
Thank you for noticing, right? Ralph.
Do want to make a quick correction yesterday, too. I was talking about the Chuck Berry funeral.
Don't put us back on this path.
Over the weekend, and I said that Paul McCartney was there, and Little Richard, and a bunch of other people, Bill Clinton. Apparently, they were just laudatory letters that were sent to the funeral there in St. Louis, and those people did not attend. I was corrected today, and I wanted to get that information out. I mentioned that Gene Simmons of Kiss gave a speech. He did. He did attend there, and he did give a speech. because he was in town for a comic book convention, so he kind of stopped by the janky funeral.
He was crying his eyes out. Did you watch that speech?
Chuck Berry. Well, because he realized there was no way he could cash in at all on the event. There was no Kiss merchandise tie-in whatsoever.
No merch table.
He was very upset. But you missed it, Kevin. You were out yesterday. Bean would have liked to have gone, but he could not make it to
would
the Chuck
like
Berry funeral.
To have gone to the funeral?
Chuck was laid out
in
an open casket, and they had a guitar bolted to the lid of the casket, so he was going to be with the guitar.
Yeah.
I was all set to drive to St. Louis, but my dumb wife was out of town, so I couldn't go.
So he can't leave the house.
Right.
She's out of town.
Right. Don't be ridiculous.
She takes the key to the shackles.
She locks
them
in.
That's right. You should go to France and get that money.
And I tried to get out the doggy door, but I was too big.
They played a very touching statement also from Chuck Berry at the funeral, which I thought was nice. And if you didn't hear it yesterday, here's what Chuck had to say.
Oh, you can smell that part.
There you go. Yeah.
So. Why do you do that? Why do you keep bringing this up? This is not what the man needs to be remembered.
Oh, you can smell that part.
That's right. It was his parting words to everyone.
It's parting words.
Those are some pretty good parting words.
Where can people find that if they wanted to watch that whole video?
You go to YouTube, but you can hear the whole thing. Chuck Berry humiliating a hooker, I think, is the clip.
It's unavailable. That's the poll.
You can hear the soundtrack to that.
You can smell that part.
That's right.
I am now terrified what Ralph will remember me for when I'm gone, because he'll find the worst thing that ever happened in my life, and that'll be it.
I'm just purging my whole memory. I'm not even going to... I'm like, what? What guy? I don't remember. Oh, the desert. The bag. Yeah, okay. Now I know. I don't know if you heard Kevin and Bean Jinx in full effect with talking to Mr. T this week or not. I don't know if you guys heard that.
I don't know that it's a jinx.
After Kevin and Bean talked to Mr. T extensively about his time on Dancing with the Stars, this happened last night.
Thank you. I don't even have a question. I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
You came to our family, and you're leaving us, and we're all bigger fans than we were of you. You are a lover.
Thank you. I said I couldn't dance. I'll try. You know, I was surprised that y'all wanted me after saying I couldn't dance. You know? So, but thank you. It was a great experience. I enjoyed myself. Thank you.
Mr. T sent home last night on Dancing with the Stars.
That's sad.
Kevin and Bean curse in full effect, so.
We're all poorer for it.
Well done, fellas. Nice work, as always.
I mean, I don't feel like that's on us.
Okay. You are a lover.
That was weird.
You said, Grant, you're a lover?
It was odd.
Who is that? Who is that bonehead?
Erin Andrews.
Oh, she's the worst.
Yeah.
Speaking of jinxes, Martha Stewart apparently has cheesed off a lot of Yankee fans.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
She was at a game, and she tweeted, "It's the top of the seventh here at Yankee Stadium, and the Yankees are pitching a perfect game versus Tampa Rays."
Uh-oh.
Apparently, don't talk about the perfect game.
Nope.
You don't mention the perfect game. You don't acknowledge the perfect game until it's perfect. You don't even look at it. You don't say it. You don't touch it. You don't taste it. You don't smell it. Just leave it alone.
Why are sports fans so incredibly crazy about these superstitions?
3 minutes later, Tampa Bay's Evan Longoria hit a double to ruin Pineda's perfect game. And that's when the Yankee fans went off on Martha Stewart, saying she ruined it. Much like Kevin and Bean ruined Mr. T's time on Dancing with the Stars.
I would like the Yankees fans to explain to me how a tweet from Martha Stewart affected the play of the men in the game who didn't know anything about it.
I think Chuck Berry has an explanation for how that happened.
You can smell that part.
I hate this. I hate today.
That's the single greatest piece of tape ever.
I hate you. I hate all of you.
Darn if he farts, Bean.
Chuck Berry was the worst, right? He was awful,
right?
You can smell that fart.
What's that noise? It sounds like there's water running during it too.
Whole another level.
Oh,
and we can't really. We're already walking the tightrope. Today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, I wouldn't have time. When we have next hour, when we have time, I'm going to play you some of the raps from Australian rapper Terry Peck, known as Tupac.
All right.
And you're going to fall in love. And you're going to say, well, that's rap right there. So we'll get to that next hour. Trisha Helfer kicks off our celebrity birthdays today. You remember her from Battlestar Galactica, of course. Alessandra Ambrosio. supermodel, 36 years old, and singer-actress Joss Stone celebrated her 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This hour, we're going to give you a pair of Clippers playoff tickets. Get a pair of tickets to see the Los Angeles Clippers in their first home game of the NBA playoffs at Staples Center. Mm. You also qualify to win the grand prize, which is access to pregame warm-ups, take part in a fan tunnel, and Lexus club passes and parking.
I have two questions for you. One is, how do I win them?
You listen for Ralph Lawler to do play-by-play on our show between now and 8 a.m.
Okay.
So he'll go, bingo, go the strings, or whatever it is he says.
Nailed it.
Right? That wasn't him, though. That was me. I don't want to
throw
people off.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. But that, we will play it in the next 52 minutes.
All right, so when you hear that, you call 1-800-520-1067. Yep. Your caller 20, you win the tickets for the Clippers home playoff game. And I guess the second question I have is, are we next hour, are we giving away Lakers playoff tickets? Is that a thing that's happening?
I mean, that's hurtful.
Kevin? Because I see the Clippers in the play. I just wondered if you're – no? Hello?
Listen.
Dick.
You were out yesterday. You missed Allie. It's going to be a red letter day for the rest of her life because she fell very deeply in love when we brought her this story out of County Kerry in Ireland. It's a sad story, Kevin, because a couple of farmers there, a couple of shepherds, had a bunch of sheep stolen. But the news report has made a lot of people smile and a lot of people become very confused because they can't figure out what the hell farmer Mikey Joe O'Shea is trying to talk about. You might say he's got a little bit of an accent. Here's some of the tape that we played for you yesterday. Then we have an update for you.
Gorthy and County Kerry are investigating the theft of up to 60 sheep on Mount Brandon. One of the farmers is offering a reward for information leading to the return of the ewes, which are worth thousands of euro.
And then find after them. That's riding. You own them in. And you want some seeds. Find after them.
So you're enjoying him so far?
I didn't understand a single word.
I thought it was backwards.
He's speaking English, too, by the way.
No.
Not Gaelic. He is speaking English. Let's hear some more from Mikey in a minute.
Last Saturday, Mikey Joe O'Shea brought his flock of Scotch sheep down from the mountain commonage ahead of lambing. He discovered over 50 were missing. Allowing for a number of deaths and strays, Mikey is convinced over 45 sheep have been stolen.
Possibly a night, there'd be a full moon there about a night, and it should be bright out, and there could anyone go up in the mountains about a night, sure.
Any questions so far, Kevin? Are you tracking here?
Wow! I think someplace in there I heard bright out.
Right.
Mountain. That's all I got.
And mountain.
Mountain,
yeah.
Okay.
Here's more from Mikey.
Well, there was 45 sheep missing, Mike, and the lambs and everything, the sheep. Just count out a nice bit of money, Mike. To be done about it, nothing.
Some source. In door.
All right, so I think that clears
what's
the whole thing
happening?
Up. I think we are set. What happened to the sheep, and what's Mikey Joe O'Shea going to do about it? We asked Dave if there's any chance in a million years we could get Mr. O'Shea on the line, and I believe he joins us from Kerry County in the old country of Ireland right now on K-Rock. Hello, Mikey.
How are you doing?
Oh, well, we're doing fine, sir. How are you? Thank you so much for coming on K-Rock with us today.
Pleasure for having me. I'm going to learn about Fountain Light in turn.
I missed a little bit of that, but I'm glad to talk to you as well.
Talking.
I don't think that's what he said.
Really? No. So, Mikey, what happened? What's the latest on the sheep? Any leads on who stole your livestock there?
No, we can't convince them. We're battling all the cathedrals. They're over in there. They're having them about 40. And they're sending them the signs.
Right. They had 40, and 40 are now missing.
I see.
They can't figure it out.
So do you have any leads?
Well, it's got in front still. But they own separate in Antwerp. In Burford Tyson, Roland Island, Rumpet Tile.
Was that a pig at the end?
I think yeah, Allie was asking if you have a pig there in addition to your sheep, Mikey.
Yeah, I've been selling the farm.
It is a farm, yeah.
It is a farm, yeah.
A farm, okay.
It does make sense, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me, sound delicious about front part of the time.
They do sound delicious.
How are you going to say it then?
Satan?
He called you Satan. Okay. It happened, yeah.
I'm still having trouble, guys.
Entirely with Ireland, with Ireland's over and down the mountain.
In Ireland, you go down the mountain.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's not what he's saying.
Hey, Mikey, could we try English, maybe? English? Do you speak English?
I've been talking about England all this time.
Okay. How do you think they stole the sheep? Like, how does somebody come in and grab 40 sheep and get away with it? I mean, that's a big...
It's Atlanta problem. You can't parallel in the Chandler Center all in 10. Or they're all sitting down and they're like diamond moving down.
I heard Camp Heroin, and I'm not positive that that's
true.
Camp
Heroin? I don't know.
Surprising.
Surprising.
No, not surprising. Talking about no Heroin. All of a sudden, it's Camp Heroin.
Mikey, I swear to God, we're trying here. We really are. We're not trying.
It's surprising.
So
you're striving.
What are you striving with? That's where I'm inside of the barn.
The barn.
The barn! Why can't you people talk goddamn English?
Heather Malone from Placentia. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. You are going to see the Clippers in Game 1 of the NBA playoffs at Staples Center, and you're qualified for the grand prize, including access to the pregame warm-ups, the fan tunnel, the Lexus Club passes, and parking. We got tickets for you every day this week here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey
Eddie Eft.
You know when Bean's talking and you whisper?
You could hear me?
Yeah.
I wasn't whispering. I was mouthing. I was just... Did he say she was from Placentia?
Placentia.
Placentia. Okay.
Did I say it wrong?
No, I had never heard of that town. Sound like Placenta.
That's what I figured you were thinking. Yes. Yeah. No, it's a real place. Placentia is a real place.
Okay.
It's been around.
Okay. Don't have a problem with it.
All right. Let's start again. Eddie F., how are you, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, guys. Always good to be here.
Good to have you. Yeah. Playing the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night at 10 o'clock. So take your taxes and just do them right there at the table while you're watching Eddie do some comedy.
Right?
Day before Easter, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Jesus is going to rise the next day. I'm going to do my show.
You going to just continue your show until that happens?
Yeah. That's what I do every year. Mm-hmm. I wind down the clock till
there's a countdown.
There's a countdown. It's like
countdown to rolling back the rock. I like it. Improv.com to buy the tickets. So you just got back from yet another trip to Australia?
Yeah. Those flights.
How famous are you down there, Eddie? Like, if I walked down the street with you, would you constantly be getting stopped?
I think more people would stop you.
Okay, so it's not going well in Australia.
Be like, no, it goes well. I'm just like, it's funny. I come back here and everybody's like, "I heard you're huge in Australia." I'm like, Japan. I'm huge, but not here or not Australia. I'm.
You go to Australia a lot.
I go to Australia a lot. I do. I sell a lot of tickets.
This is turning into a Hasselhoff in Germany situation.
Don't say that.
No, the lift is so big now.
I'm trying to establish my career here more, and every time I go to a meeting, they go, "So you live in Australia?" No, I do not. I live here. I go there for 2 months. Not even. I went for 6 weeks this time.
That seems like a long time.
Yeah, it's still a long time.
Yeah, I toured for 6 weeks. It was great, except I took my 2-year-old with me.
Okay, good idea, bad idea.
I'd rather fly with the Al-Qaeda than fly with my 2-year-old.
Wow.
She, at least you know the plane's going down with the Al-Qaeda. About the way back, it was about 8 hours of tantrum where I'd apologize to the entire plane.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I would have rather been that guy on the United flight.
Being dragged.
You would have been saved the 8 hours of screaming.
If they would have said, "We need somebody to volunteer to get off," I'm like, "I'll get off. They'll stay. My wife and the baby will stay, and I'm off."
Now, the thing about being the parent of the infant that is tantruming on the plane is – the passengers hate you and hate it, but don't they give you a little bit of a wide berth if you're trying? If it looks like you're doing everything you can, you're not just ignoring the kids screaming, don't they kind of root for you a little
bit? Yeah. You have people that tell you, they're like, "I have kids, I know how it is," or "You did a really good job." You're getting congratulated by people if you get off the bus. Like, "Good work, good job. Like, you did it." And I'm like, what are you going to do? So it's I'll never do it again, though. I think that's the last
You'll
time.
Never do it again?
I don't know. We used to fly a lot with her, and the 15 hours was brutal. We've done it twice, too. You know?
Wow.
I'm over that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you took her there, and then you brought her back. I mean, that was a real commitment.
Well, immigration, they kind of make you leave.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Tried to leave her behind.
Yeah. No, but it was funny. They said to me, I had to shoot something over there, and there was all kinds of things with our visas, and they said, "Oh, you might have to go home a few days later than your wife and child." And I was like, because I had to go shoot the thing,
right?
And so I was going to let my wife and and baby go back? And
the answer to that is yes.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, I don't want to do that. I'll see you guys.
Hey, Eddie, forgive me if this is a dumb question, but when you walk around as an American in a foreign country, people look at you as a representative of that country. Is it different now being an American overseas than it was a year ago?
I used to have so many. It's funny. I made a movie called America the Punchline about 10 years ago, and it was a documentary based on the way the world perceives America, seen through the eyes of international stand-up comedians. So we went around the world and saw all these comedians, because it was at the time when we were bombing a couple countries and Bush was the president. Mm-hmm. And every comedy club.
You mean the good old days?
Yeah, you know, the ones we're getting back into. So every comedy club I went to, and every comedian like would make jokes about America. And I was like, why are we the common denominator of every joke? So I started making this movie with Paul Provenza, who made The Aristocrats. And we started making it, and we're about to release it, and all of a sudden I turn on the TV and Obama's speaking in Germany to like a million people, and they're cheering them like, we love you, America.
Right.
And I was like,
hey, you just ruined my movie.
That's exactly what I thought. I was like,
thanks, Obama.
I'm happy for America, but you ruined my film. So cut to 8 years later, we're starting up the film again.
All right.
Because everywhere I go, they're like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, what did you guys do? How is this happening?
And can explain that, by the way.
Yeah, and that puts you in an awkward position, because it's really, you're not responsible for it.
No, I felt like that. I felt like the ambassador. Like, I would walk into a green room of a comedy club and people would start yelling at me. And I'm like, I have any say in anything. Like, I'm an idiot. Like, why are you yelling at me? People would yell at me 8 years ago.
Yell at you.
They're not yelling. I think people have some sympathy for America because they feel like we are kind of hijacked. So,
well, that's better than yelling. Sympathy is better than yelling.
Yeah, there's a bit of sympathy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But wasn't there
something, forgive me for interrupting, Eddie, I'm just trying to remember, because wasn't one of the early days of the Trump administration some sort of controversy that involved the Prime Minister of Australia on the phone?
Yeah, Trump hung up on Malcolm Turnbull. He called him to talk about something, and Turnbull said, we're sending you X amount of immigrants who are refugees. That was like a deal that they had made during the Obama years, and right. And Trump just started yelling at him and hung up on him.
Okay.
And it was like,
and have we healed that rift? Are we good now with Australia?
I think so. I mean, they're like, okay. It's like the 51st state over there. So, I mean, it's so Americanized now.
Is it really?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Why don't you live there, Eddie? Is that a dumb question? Why don't you just move your family and make it a one-way flight and be superstar Eddie F?
Because we have family. And, you know, I've got, like, parents, and my wife's got parents, and it's such a long trip to get back. But otherwise, it's beautiful. It's an incredible country. Like, and they have a gigantic middle class.
So, oh, no kidding.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest middle class in the world. So, like, people that work at McDonald's make, like, $20 an hour.
Wow.
So you don't see much poverty, mm-hmm. and people just live well. And you don't see a lot of, like, Lamborghinis and Porsches driving around on the road, but you see everybody's kind of happy.
Comfortable.
Yeah, very comfortable. Very, it's a nice way to live.
And most of the country is uninhabitable?
Yeah, they mostly live near the beach. And the rest is this big, giant orange desert that I went
to. That sounds great.
They sent me to do a show at a gold mine, and I had no idea. Like, I said to the guy that was touring me, I go, what time's the show tomorrow night? And he goes, well, we'll take you to the airport at 5 or whatever. I go, airport? Why am I going to the airport? And they're like, we're going to Prominent Hill. And I went, where's that? And they're like, in the middle of the desert. So we're about to land, and the pilot goes, put your tray tables up and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, no.
No what?
No. There was no runway. I'm like, no, no, no. Tray table's not going up. Seat back's
can
not coming.
Can you stop him from landing?
If you keep the tray down.
I didn't realize
that. That's exactly how you can stop a plane.
So he landed on
He's landed
grass?
Like in red dirt, and then they got me out of the plane, and then I see the plane taking off again. I go, where's that going? And they go, it goes back to Adelaide. I go, no, 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 no. Plane stays here.
Are you positive someone's not playing a joke on you?
I swear to God, it was like I was in Mad Max. I went, they lived out there. There were like 800 men and 7 women.
Okay. Are they all miners?
They were mining gold, And we did a show at night, and I'm like, I'm going to die. Like, oh, this is gosh. Where it's all going to happen.
Did they like you? Did it translate?
I got carried out on their shoulders. It was the best show I've ever
had.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They needed you.
It was 800 men. I did a lot of masturbation jokes.
Sure.
That's,
okay.
That was
right.
That's
how
all.
Exhausted are those seven women? I mean, really?
That's what I kept. I kept looking at them like, are you okay?
Right.
Are you, need
some help? You need to go?
Dude, I've got a plane coming tomorrow. I can get you out of here. it was, they weren't too pretty either, those eight women.
Well, they don't have to be.
They don't have to be, right.
Right.
Eddie Ift is here. We will take a quick break and we'll be right back on K-Rock.
The great Eddie Ift in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eddie, a longtime and frequent guest at the Kevin and Bean Show, has been very kind enough to play April Foolishness a couple of times. Always good to see Eddie. He's going to be at the Hollywood Improv this Saturday night at 10. Tickets on sale now through improv.com or eddieift.com. Just $15, 18 and up. Speaking of the audience that your show attracts, Eddie, you made reference to something during the song, and we didn't let you tell it off the air because you, very successful, very popular comedian for a long time, actually got fired from a comedy club recently. Now, that doesn't happen very often.
Yeah.
They will no longer book you.
Could I just butt in? I think it happens more to Eddie than anyone else.
Oh, no.
I think.
I was worried this week. I was in the St. Louis Funny Bone. And I did an abortion joke, and this woman got up and said, no, no. And I went, what? She goes, you're not going to do that here. And I go, yeah, I actually am. I am going to do this joke.
When she stands up and does that, are you more likely to do it now or less likely?
More likely.
More likely.
And then I said I was donating all the money, all the proceeds from that show to Planned Parenthood because of her.
And, and you lied about that, right? You
yeah, of course. Really. That went to,
okay.
To I'm a parent. I need that. it went to Unplanned Parenthood. So,
does that happen a lot?
No, I haven't been fired from a lot of clubs, but I've had incidents. One time I made a list of all the crazy things that have happened. Like, you know, I've been chased around the room. I've been hit in the face with a shoe. I've hit in the face with a snowball. You can find that online somewhere. It's like the most hits I've ever gotten online. Someone hit me in the middle of June with a snowball.
That's planet.
Yeah.
Were you on
that's
stage?
That's planet. Thank you, Bean. That's the one thing that I think is – because that I got hit and all I'm thinking is – somebody hated me so much that they saved a snowball.
Yeah, for months.
Yeah, months.
That's insane.
That's amazing.
And probably had a lot of practice so that they could not waste it.
And it hit me. It hits me directly in
right
the face.
Right in the face. Wow.
But what it was is they went back into the cooler, the beer cooler. It was someone who worked at the club. But I've been chased off stage and run around the room. I've been chased out of the club.
What's happening?
This is Eddie's life.
Yeah, it's
it really is more than any comedian I've ever met before.
Yeah. So what happened? The story you made a reference to recently, and in Seattle, right?
In Seattle, it's the Comedy Underground in Seattle. The owner will not work me anymore because I think he said I called a bunch of school teachers the C word. And
could I just interrupt and say, if you did, that's probably a bad idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I did,
right?
But If 20 school teachers on a bachelorette party were ruining the show for the other 200 people, wouldn't you say that maybe they were deserving of being called that?
So what did they do, Eddie? And did you have the support of the other 200 people in the room?
The crowd was going crazy. The crowd loved it, but the owner is, you know, he's
loved
just,
it less.
Yeah,
would you say?
Yeah, he's an idiot. So, yeah.
How did they ruin the show? Just talking too much?
Yeah, they made the show all about them. Bachelorette parties are known for that. They're probably the worst group of people.
It's
right?
Hard to be quiet sipping out of your penis straw.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's tough.
And in England, it's funny. At the comedy clubs in England, they make bachelorette and bachelor parties by a bond. Is that right? Yeah, they make them buy a bond, and it's a lot. It's like thousands of dollars if they're coming, if they're bringing a giant group. And that way, if they ruin the show, they lose their money.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So they have to be on their best behavior, otherwise it costs them money. That's really interesting. I will say that I noticed, because I go to, you know, Eddie, I moved to New Orleans last year. So I eat at more restaurants than I used to.
You should.
Because there are so many wonderful places to eat. And I will tell you, a lot of times I'll go to these restaurants, and you can spot how often this happens. There's one table that's like 8 or 10 or 12 women. And that's clearly what's going on, is it's a bachelorette party or night before or whatever. And it's always the loudest table in the whole room. And they are completely oblivious to how loud they are. And everybody around them is just trying to have a nice, quiet dinner.
Yeah, but that's because a bachelorette party's out somewhere in a restaurant. A bachelorette party's not in a restaurant. They're in the creepiest room in a strip club somewhere.
Right.
Doing creepier stuff. So right. That's women's outlet, where men are like, hey, let's go down in the dungeon right now.
Oh, God.
I've been to some horrible bachelor parties. I mean, once
were you at a bachelor party where they offered to take you down to the dungeon?
I think he has.
Did that happen?
Worse. I have seen some terrible things.
You've done some terrible things
as
well.
No, I haven't.
Oh, please.
No.
So, Eddie, the crowds in Southern California, do they mouth off to you?
No, they're the nicest
crowd in the world.
Nicest crowd in the world.
Where is it the worst? Is it Australia or is it someplace else in the United States or outside?
I feel like when I go to Atlanta, they're very mouthy.
Okay.
I did a charity show there once where for cystic fibrosis, and I flew in to do this charity show for free. Like, I was working the club, and they said, hey, we have this charity show the night before. Will you do it? You know, I donated my time. And they were yelling at me. Like, I came on. I was the headliner, and they were yelling, like, show us your, you know, to me.
So
and
did you?
Screaming at me, like, what? And I kept going, can you guys be quiet? And they're like, be funny. And I'm like, well, you won't let me speak. And then I got in a fight with a guy and his wife, argument, and then the woman in the back that organized the entire event goes, don't anybody laugh at him.
Oh, my God.
This is just chaos.
And I think when they wrote the letter complaining about me to the club, it said that I said, before I dropped the microphone, I said, I hope all your cysts get fibrosis.
Oh, Eddie.
Eddie is the 100% the opposite of Bean. In his life and his decisions and the things he says, the places he goes. 100%.
I kept saying to them, I'm like, I flew here for you. I'm donating my time and you're screaming at me.
Why is it I feel like every show you come in to promote could be your last ever show?
Because that's true.
It is true. It is absolutely true.
What would you be doing if you weren't doing comedy?
I'd be a doctor.
Is there anything you're qualified for, Eddie? Is there a backup plan?
You'd have a good bedside manner.
Do you want to hear the truth? I worked for my dad, and he fired me. My dad truly fired me. I was an intern before that. Like I worked for free. I got fired for that.
Did you get kicked out of grade school and middle school and high school and college?
Yes, and my dad said at least I was consistent.
Right? Look on the bright side.
Yeah. But I volunteered, and they asked me to leave.
Wow.
They're like, we don't need
you've
you.
Done enough damage.
I am sorry if this is unfortunate timing, Eddie, but we're going to have to ask you to go because we are actually out of time. So leave now, please. Improv.com or EddieIft.com if you want to buy tickets to see possibly his last show ever, Eddie Ift at the Hollywood Improv. $15, guys. I promise. You can't beat that. 18 and up for the show. Eddie, always great to see you, man. Thanks
for having me, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. You know what? How about less of trashing Chuck Berry?
He was an awful person. Let's not ever forget that.
He was a terrible person.
Yeah. But let's also remember him for the contributions that he made to rock and roll and to the world.
And this is one of them.
He played some good songs, played a good guitar. Johnny B. Goode, we know that 70 years ago. But let's not forget how awful he was the rest of his whole life.
I'm saying the good overshadows the bad in Chuck Berry. Look, everyone's got some good things and some bad things in their life. But overall, at the end of the day,
Maybelline overcomes the 14-year-old girl or videotaping women using the bathroom in his restaurant.
Look,
I don't know
I'm not supporting or defending that at all.
You're just saying the songs make it worth it.
I'm just saying overall positive effect having Chuck Berry in the world. That's all I'm saying. And that's how he should be remembered. 7:53, time for another look at the showbiz beat. Here's the bad man.
I don't know how positive it was for that hooker. Just saying, Chuck Berry humiliates a hooker on YouTube.
Her favorite day at work, Bean said.
Yeah.
Why have you not bought ChuckBerryHumiliatesAHooker.com yet, Ralph?
Because I'm not a weirdo like you who just buys the names of websites and then never does anything with them.
How many do you own now? How many websites do you own that you have done nothing with?
Just honestly, I don't think about it because they're all on autopay, so I really never even look at it or think about it.
I've got a ton of money,
right?
And I just don't worry about it.
I just pay for all of them.
Yeah.
Which is odd for a guy who's as cheap as Bean to not know where his money's going at every month for some random websites. It shows you how much he loves website names more than he even loves money.
It's like $6 a year or something crazy.
Right, you're not doing anything with them.
But I will,
ever.
Man.
But you One never day. Will.
But you don't know.
We do know.
You don't know, man.
History has proven.
I want you to buy...
.com.
Bean.
Hall of Fame!
Thank you. Thank you so much. Give me a little music, why don't you, for the Showbiz Beat. Are you new?
It's an idea.
What happened to you yesterday? What happened? Did you get hit in the head?
No, I'm good.
No, you're not.
Sharp as ever.
You've been talking in the microphone without turning it on. You forget how the show goes. It's just been a day.
It's all good.
It's not all good.
It's all good.
It really isn't.
It's really good.
It's not really good.
Everyone's having a good time.
Maybe gravity's screwing with them.
That's
now.
What it is.
Right? Stupid gravity.
What if gravity... What if that doesn't happen? We were talking about the Kevin of Australia, a rapper... known as Terry Peck, or Tupac, as he's known down under. And I was just saying how much I love him because what he did was went to a beachside restaurant, sat at the table, ordered two whole lobsters, a baby octopus, 21 oyster shooters, all the beer he could drink, rang up a bill of $621.30.
That's crazy.
And then when the bill arrived, got up and ran into the ocean to escape from paying it.
It seems like that choice is limited in that you just can't keep going.
Well, who's coming after you? I'm sure it's what he thought.
I mean, they could just wait him out on the beach.
Well, they didn't even do that much. They sent police in riding jet skis, and he kept hiding underwater trying to avoid arrest.
He's the best.
He is the best. Then when he finally came up, the cops grabbed him. It was a little bit of a scuffle. He ended up being charged with stealing from the restaurant and two counts of assaulting a police officer. He said in his defense that he left the table without paying because a friend of his was giving birth on the beach.
What? He ran past that friend to go into the water?
Also, he said the food was overpriced, the lobster was overcooked, and there were bits of shell in one of his oysters.
Oh.
So he didn't think really he needed to pay. His lawyer told the local news, alcohol is an issue for Terry.
You think?
And it is something he needs to address. Now, Tupac, of course, is a brilliant rapper.
Sure.
Maybe the best rapper in all of Australia. And people were questioning that, and I thought, well, we could bring in some samples of his work. Here's just a few quick clips from two of his, I think, his biggest hits. First one's called Rap Battle Number 1.
Just one time, yeah, here you go. 1 + 1 equals a window, the same window that a motherfucker has to throw a Molotov cocktail through if you know how he rolls. Yeah, cause I know you got your rags. You got so many rags that I know you wipe the blood up. You're such a and you're such a that you have a dag. Such a dag that you like to drive people's hands from my mother head and my you like the crab. Have a stab, bitch. Mom! That's what I'm doing.
And I'm got mad rhymes, right?
Does he have mad rhymes?
He's got mad rhymes, mad skills.
I feel for him.
Well, wait till you hear Ozzy, 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 oi, oi, oi.
Yazzy, 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 oi, oi, oi.
This is gold.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a good time. Out and about on the east end, then you got the west. Sharp tips and honey's as good as it gets. Told around the place. Yeah, from N to the Adelaide. Raise your hands for the old loud funky bass. Smoke weed and all the speed and crank up the tracks and scream out. The police that you rode through the streets. I don't want to be
what Michael Jackson song is this? Slowed Down.
Sounds like Beat It almost.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah.
He's great though,
right?
Wow.
Oh, man. He's really good.
I would like to pay his bill at that restaurant.
Agreed.
For all the work that he gave us. The good outweighs the bad, is what I'm saying. All of his good music outweighs all the bad things he did.
Here's my idea, Weenie Roast. Who's with me?
I'm here. 100%.
That is not good.
Oh, right? Well, you don't know.
I mean,
he's Tupac.
He is Tupac.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
Hope he's out of the joint in time for a wiener roast. Hey, good news. This is going to be another Kardashian TV show. Living with Kylie, it's called.
It'll be on. Forgive me, Ralph, I can't keep them all straight. Is she Pepsi Girl or not Pepsi Girl?
No, that's Kendall.
That's Kendall. Okay.
Kendall is Pepsi Girl. Kylie is the younger sister of Pepsi Girl, and she is going to be all over it. Because she's the CEO of Kylie Cosmetics.
Oh.
Sure.
So this show will, of course, follow her life as an entrepreneur, a fashion designer, an author, and all the other things that she does. Kylie says fans will get a peek inside all the exciting things I'm working on for the show this summer.
Right.
She is, 19, I think?
Sounds about right.
I think so.
Yeah.
There's more money for Seacrest. He produces all those shows, right? All those Kardashian shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every episode will be her getting lip injections, I'm guessing. That's all. That's what she's got going on. We'll wait and see. And Nashville fans are excited to know that Nashville's been renewed by CMT for another season. I did not see this coming.
I didn't either. That's a real surprise to me because I felt like people were really underwhelmed with the reboot.
I thought once they killed Connie Britton's character off that might be the end of the show, but apparently Deacon will live on and so will the show.
Are you still going to be on, Ralph?
I don't think I am.
Are you going to let it go?
I think I got to let it go. I tried. I really did.
Golly.
I've been out for a while.
Are you watching Sun Records, though?
I am.
That's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. I love that One Tree Hill kid, too.
Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's terrific, and the show's great, and I'm
it's
loving
really
it.
Really good.
So I'm enjoying that. So. Elvis is on it, man. I want to make a record.
I don't want to hear that anymore.
Strangely, I do.
What if Elvis ever worked with Chuck Berry? What if they were in the studio together?
He recorded a number of Chuck Berry songs.
That's true. He did. Yeah. That was one of them. It was one of his biggest hits. Let's lay down that "Smell My Fart" song. Play room up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Joss Stone is 30 years old today. Alessandra Ambrosio is 36. And actress Trisha Helfer, remember her, is number 6, right?
Yes. Correct. That is correct, sir.
Where were you staring off to? What was going on?
I was looking
there?
At the Coachella thing.
No, you were looking this way.
Oh, that's
there was nothing going on here. You were looking into this corner of the room.
Can't answer that.
All right.
Yeah.
Then. I'm Ralph Garman.
Is there something shiny up there? What's happening?
It's very possible. The K-Rock countdown to Coachella continues. Only 3 days till Coachella. Listen all week at 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., and 6 p.m. to win a pair of sold-out three-day passes for weekend two. And we have your passes right now. You're going to have to earn them by playing a game, but give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next.
I'm glad Dave, the King of Mexico, is in the studio with us right now.
He's tuning his kazoo.
You can't tune a kazoo, for God's sake.
Maybe he's just getting his lips warmed up to play, you guys.
You don't need to warm up your lips.
Time out. You got to remember what a terrible kazoo player
By the way, there's no timeout in radio either.
Oh, time back in. I don't want to give it too long.
Dave thinks we can just press pause and the audience won't hear it.
I'm glad Dave's in here because, A, we want to give away some tickets for Coachella for this weekend. But, B, you boys are going to be live in the desert Friday morning on the Kevin and Bean. You guys are going to be broadcasting from the site on Friday, right?
Friday and Monday, yes. K-Rock Party House.
Cold. Yeah. Big weekend, of course. Bon Iver and Lady Gaga and Kendrick Lamar and Lord and Justice and New Order and Father John. Misty, Travis Scott, the XX, and Radiohead, of course, is headlining Friday night, and that's what we're focusing on right now. We're looking for Radiohead fans. I think we've got the lines full already at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called Kazoo and You.
It's Kazoo and You. Just guess the tune we play for you. It's Kazoo and You, because we love kazoos and you do too. It's Kazoo and You, and you win some ticks, not one but two. It's Kazoo and You.
Radiohead songs are challenging for the best musicians to play in some cases.
Agreed.
Dave's going to attempt him with a kazoo, right?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so he'll play a Radiohead song for you. You identify it by the title. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Someone wins tickets for Coachella Weekend 2 right now on K-Rock. Who's first?
Let's start with Sable in Bell. Hi there.
Hi.
Is this the wrestler, Sable?
Yes. No, I'm not that at the time.
Oh, man.
All right, Dave, you going to do a song or just talk?
I hope.
Okay, good.
I hope. Are we doing this now?
Yes.
All right.
What did you think was happening once we got Sable on the air?
Oh, I wanted to talk to her more about if she was a wrestler or not.
Okay. She's not. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. I can recognize it because I'm looking at the answer, but I don't think if I was not.
Sable, it's not your fault if you don't know, but take a guess. What do you think it is?
I'm going to take a guess. That was really hard. It should just be added to the raffle.
It was hard. Take a guess.
I'm going to take a guess. Radiohead, Burn the Witch?
Mm. Oh, come on. That was easy.
Sorry, that was High and Dry.
Almost exactly. Allie was right, though. A little pitchy.
A little pitchy, but...
I see what he was going for. He just failed and didn't
get it. It was a little pitchy. All right, the next one will be better.
All right, good. Let's go to Martin in Chatsworth. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You ready for Kazoo and You?
Yes.
Martin, you got that first one, though, right?
Yes, I did.
All right, cool. All right, well, good luck on this one.
That's funny, thank you. That is terrible kazoo playing, Martin. I apologize you had to hear that, but what song is it by Radiohead?
Can I buy a vowel?
I wish it worked like that. Radiohead.
I'll say Burn the Witch.
Sorry, it's there.
Oh, come on, that was right on.
I'm not hearing it, Dave. I got to be honest.
You got to be honest with me either. And we're looking at the answer, for God's sakes.
But I do hope enough people continue to guess Burn the Witch, and eventually it will be Burn the Witch, so at least we get a winner.
Yeah, I'll give you a hint. It's not Burn the Witch.
It's not Burn the Witch.
It's not Burn the Witch.
As a matter of fact, Burn the Witch is not on the list.
Yeah. Oh.
So we'll just give you that.
Okay.
Little heads
hint,
up.
Hint.
Let's go to Art in La Puente, Heather.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Art, it's Kazoo, the hardest game in the world.
Yeah. All right, here's Dave playing a Radiohead song.
This one's pretty good. I'm pretty good at this one.
I wonder what song Dave is playing instead of the one he's supposed to be playing right now.
All right, Art, take a stab. What do you think?
I'm going to say Power Police.
Oh, my
God.
Yes!
Because
it was right on.
Oh, I got it.
Was Karma Police.
Art, was that a 100% guess?
100%.
Nice. You nailed it. Hold on.
I guess Burn the Witch.
All right. Let's go to Eric in Los Angeles. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good.
Let's do this.
You ready?
I am.
Here's the king.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave. Eric, what song is that, please?
I'm going to guess Creep.
Yeah.
Yes. You're going to guess right.
Okay. We're on a roll. Two in a row.
But now, hold on, Eric. Was that a complete guess, or did you actually recognize that?
I think Dave did a good job on that one.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. All right. Let's push our luck and try one more contestant for Radiohead tickets for Friday night. Of course, you get to go all 3 weekends. Second weekend is what we're playing
all 3 days.
For
Yes. 3 days. Frank in Hacienda Heights, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. You ready
Terrible.
For
Terrible. Thanks for asking.
Ready for your kazoo?
Not Burn the Witch.
Yes.
Okay.
That's, I don't think we need any more than that.
That was close.
That is something.
That was good.
All right.
What say you, Frank?
That's better than I thought.
Well, I'm a pretty big Radiohead fan, and I could not make that out.
You're not that big of a Radiohead fan. Then.
Take a guess that hasn't been guessed yet and is not Burn the Witch.
Fake Plastic Trees.
Come
yes,
on!
It is.
Yeah, you know why? Because he knew it.
Yeah.
I think he said he didn't.
Frank, did you know it? Frank, did you know it or did you guess?
I guess.
Guess. He guessed and knew it.
So two out of three.
Very lucky people. All right. So Frank is in. Eric is in. Art is in. Only one will win tickets for weekend two of Coachella 2017. Miss Alan McKay, who's our winner?
Art is going to Coachella.
Yeah! Art. Congratulations, Art.
Woo! The first guy to make a complete guess. Woo! Nicely done. Enjoy Coachella weekend, too.
Thank you.
And thanks for playing.
Kazoo and you.
Kazoo!
Epic. Amazing. Off the effing chain, you guys.
Yeah, a lot of support for Evanescence here on the program today.
Right?
Guys, I think I need some help understanding this United Airlines story. Maybe we have some people who work in the airline industry. Maybe they can shed some light on the parts I don't understand about this story. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. By now, I think most people have been paying attention to the news. They know that a passenger on board a United Airlines flight leaving from Chicago yesterday was dragged off the plane. They looked for volunteers because they were overbooked, as so often is the case. They looked for volunteers, and nobody volunteered. So they said that they randomly selected four passengers that were going to be forced to leave the plane. Why? Because they had four employees that needed to get to a different airport so that they could start work.
Now, I've seen this happen many, 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 many times, but I've never seen them go on the plane and pull people off.
Right. And this is my number one question of many questions that I have about this incident. This is why I'm hoping someone who works in the airline industry can help me understand this. Don't they usually sort out who gets the seats before the plane is boarded?
Yes. Like
before
So
this doesn't happen. Yeah. Where was the guy saying, will anyone give up their flight and go later today for $200?
Right.
How about $400? How about $800? Don't they usually, my understanding is, they just keep going until the number gets so big that somebody is going to volunteer.
I don't know. I've never seen this before, so I would assume that always happens. But and, by the way, they also overbook. That's sort of on them. I understand they want to make sure that their planes are full, but right. If you overbooked, that's your fault.
And you overbooked and you're trying to get your own employees on the next flight. How about they sit this one out? Or how about you have a jet just for them? I know that's absurd and it would never happen, but
never
these
are
paying
awesome,
these are paying customers. They paid in advance for these seats. These are their seats.
And this is the other thing that I'm confused about, because as you mentioned, Ali, you're giving up paying customers for employees. Why not solve the problem on the other end rather than moving four people from Chicago to, I think, Louisville is where they're going? Why not call Louisville and go, hey, start calling people who are off or offering people more money to, you know, to work an extra shift or something like that, and fill in for those employees who aren't going to be able to make it because there's no room on this plane leaving Chicago. You know what I'm saying? Why couldn't they have done that instead? Yes, Ralph Garman.
I'm just saying the airline did offer money to people to get off the plane.
800 is what they got up to.
$1,000 is what they got up to. Okay. Yeah, to $1,000.
Yeah. I heard that as well. Then why did they board the plane before they had this sorted out? Why not take care of it before you start letting people onto the plane?
I've never seen anything happen where they didn't take care of it first, like Bean's saying. Like, I've never seen it happen where they'd, we have three people. Thank you. That always works out that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they board the plane. I have
heard it on the plane as well.
You have?
Yes. I've been on planes where they've said, we need some seats available. Is anyone willing to change their travel plans at this time?
But
so it happens on or off.
Isn't it inconceivable that there isn't a number at which people would volunteer? There's no reason for it to ever get to randomly we're going to kick a paid passenger off a flight. It doesn't make any sense. And obviously it's a public relations disaster for United. Not only that they did it, that somebody videoed it, put it up online, but the way they handled it afterwards is they try to make it sound like it was this guy's fault, this doctor who they said was being uncooperative. They're shaming him for it.
Well, that's the bottom line. I think all the other stuff is sort of just detail stuff, but someone's hands to be put on someone else, or for them to be physically dragged down the aisle of an airplane, that's where it goes off the rails for me. The other stuff, it's business as usual with most airlines. They're effed up. The best of them are effed up, right?
Yeah.
So they screw up their seating or their booking or what they wouldn't charge for bags or all that kind of stuff that happens. But the minute it crosses the line where someone is physically assaulted and dragged off an airplane, how is this not a crime is what I want to know.
I mean, I guess they say they have the right to make anyone leave a plane that they want to. I mean, I guess the airline says they're allowed to do it. They were allowed to do what they did.
They're calling him belligerent, but it doesn't say if he was belligerent before they laid their hands on him or after they started trying to take him off.
They claim apparently they used a computer to randomly pick four people, three people?
Four people,
that were supposed to be removed from the plane.
Okay.
And we assume the other three just left. They just got up and voluntarily walked out.
That, wouldn't you?
There's no story.
Right.
No, but I don't know.
As an example, Kevin.
Kevin, I don't know in which order the four people were removed.
I think Kevin was just joking.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But this guy said, look, I'm a doctor and I have to be somewhere for work, right? That's what he said. He needed to see patients the next morning. So that's why he declined their generous offer for him to leave the plane. And as Ralph mentioned, they grab him and drag him out. Listen to this audio, by the way. Look, he's the victim here. But does he kind of overreact a little bit when he starts screaming like this?
Hey, come on.
Come on.
Let it go.
Hey,
busted his lip.
Oh, my God. Look at what you did to him.
I think he started screaming before his face hit the seat, and that's what busted
his
lip.
If you're ripping me out of my seat, and then my face hits the armrest, and now I'm bleeding, and you're dragging me by my arms, hell yeah, I'm making noise, Bean.
Well, all that screaming was before that. All the screaming was before he hit his head, is what I'm saying. It was just weird. That was like as soon as they put their hands on him, he started screaming.
You put your hands on me, I'm screaming. I'll tell you that.
He said, I have patients to see tomorrow. What kind of – is he a brain surgeon? What's going on? With
don't know.
I don't want my doctor sounding like this. I don't want that guy being my doctor.
See the video after where he's just rocking back and forth saying, just kill me, just kill me.
Didn't he get
just
back on the plane afterwards? And I can't remember exactly.
The whole thing is hocked up.
Everything.
As you guys handle
it, you got to close United down, is what I'm saying.
It's terrible, you guys. Let's talk to, if we have time real quick, let's talk to Lewis. He's in Corona. He's on line three. He is a former United desk agent. Maybe he can shed some light on what the policy is when you have overbooked the flight. How do you get some people to leave when nobody wants to? Louis, thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hello.
Hi.
How you doing, guys?
We're good.
Go ahead.
Oh, man, kind of breaking up, but I got you. My name is Louis Lungfu. I used to work for United Airlines.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead.
And, you know, I mean, one of the reasons why I'm a former employee of United, you know, it's kind of a joke, you know, in the sense that the airlines, they'll sit there and we'll try and accommodate the passengers, you know, and ask them, you know, hey, is there anybody willing to give up their seats? And in the end, if nobody admits to it and says, you know, hey, I'll take the voucher or I'll take the comp or whatnot, they act like bullies, you know. I mean, basically our reason is more important than yours. We don't care if you have to get home to feed the dog or whatnot. You know, we're going to go ahead and push you to the next flight, you know, and you know, that's one of the reasons why I left.
Mm. But wouldn't that be true of all airlines? I would assume.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate, you know, in the sense that, you know, if nobody's willing to sit there and take one for the team type of thing, you know, well, you know what, we're going to go ahead and bump you, you know.
Then
and
offer more money. If $1,000 isn't enough, make it $1,500. Look, everybody has a price. Everybody. They should never, ever do this.
No, agreed, through and through, man. You know, it's just the airlines, it's that whole, you know, well, we're more important than you guys, you know, so we're going to go ahead and bump you. We don't care if you got to get home or you got to, you know.
Understood. Thank you, Lewis. We appreciate the call.
I think Allie's point is well taken, is that I've never seen this happen with another passenger where somebody was on standby and they make this offer. If they don't get people to give up their seats, usually that person who's trying to get on the flight just loses.
Yeah, right.
It's the fact that they were trying to get their employees to another city makes it seem like they were not willing to take no for an answer because they were just going to do whatever it would take to maximize their profits in terms of getting their next flight out on time by getting their employees to that next destination.
Well, I think they're turning a corner with the public relations battle here, and I want to thank our friend Jimmy Kimmel for calling this to our attention. But United has at least responded very quickly with this, and they do have some new slogans, I think, that are going to help us understand how the industry works.
We're United Airlines. You do what we say, when we say, and there won't be a problem. Capiche? If we say you fly, you fly. If not, tough.
Oh, look at what you did to him!
Give us a problem, and we'll drag your ass off the plane. And if you resist, we'll beat you so badly, you'll be using your own face as a flotation device. United Airlines. F*** you.
Keep on listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for yet another chance for you to win tickets for weekend two of Coachella. We got that for you coming up at 9 a.m. this morning and every day this week here on K-Rock. Very happy to tell you guys that our friend Lamorne Morris is on the phone.
All right.
He is, of course, as you know, Winston from New Girl, and also is part of the greatest cast that I think I've ever seen assembled for a motion picture that I am probably not going to watch. Adam Sandler's new film called Sandy Wexler debuts on Friday on Netflix. Lamorne Morris is on the phone, you guys. How are you?
I mean, I feel like we could have started a little more positive.
Oh, my God, man.
Let's put it another way. So, Lamorne, I want to see this movie, right?
Hold on. Did you just call him an idiot, Lamorne?
Yes.
You're our hero.
Why am I wrong, Lamorne? Why should I see this Adam Sandler movie Friday on Netflix?
Because, man, it's a movie that takes place in the 90s. Okay, you were around in the 90s. It was popping in the 90s.
He doesn't remember the 90s.
But also because the movie has the cast, just like you said. You know what I mean? I'm in it. Chris Rock is in it. Terry Crews is in it. Adam Sandler is in this movie. It's hilarious. It's a good movie, man.
It's an insane cast. You mentioned a bunch of stars, but I mean, Kevin James and David Spade and Richard Lewis and Arsenio Hall and Conan O'Brien. Yeah. The list just goes. Penn Jillette. Did I see Vanilla Ice in the trailer? I mean,
Vanilla Ice. Yeah,
it's crazy. Now, who are you, Lamorne?
I play the head of Capitol Records in the movie, so I'm kind of the antagonist, if you will. I kind of shake things up in the world of Adam Sandler and Jennifer Hudson. So Adam Sandler is a janky music and entertainment manager. No one respects him until he finds this talent, Jennifer Hudson, and she happens to be best singers. I think Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, all wrapped in one. And then now people kind of, they're on Sandy's back a little bit because he has this talent. And I sign her to a record deal, and I kind of, you know, shift things around in their relationship.
You steal her away from him?
I don't know. I mean, you got to watch the movie. You know, you got it. You kind of got to watch it.
You do have some. I did see in the trailer, and you do have. You talk about the 90s being popping. Let's talk about what kind of hair you got going on in the 90s, Lamorne.
The Nino Brown from New Jack City haircut, man. I got the two-level, the two-tier high top fade. Dope.
It's strong. I'm fascinated by a number of things. One is this whole Netflix model. I mean, they have shaken up the game so much with the movies that they make and their own like private universe, you know what I mean, over there at Netflix.
Yeah.
It's so different than movies in theaters. And Adam Sandler is kind of the same way. I mean, he's got his way of doing things that has been enormously successful. You know, Adam Sandler has had box office over $2 billion, you guys?
Wow. That's incredible.
He's been around. Yeah. He's been around for a long time, and he knows what his fans like. And I get the impression that he operates independently of everybody, and he just does things the way he wants to do things, and he doesn't have to worry about outside influences. And Netflix gives him all the room in the world to do what he wants. Did it feel that way on the set, which is just kind of free and following his artistic vision?
Yes, 100%. He runs with the same crew he's been running with for 20 years. Actors, behind-the-scenes guys, craft service guys. He's very loyal to his friends. And so they have their own inner circle and way of thinking, and their fans know what to expect when they put something out. When the movie came out, or, you know, we had a premiere and a screening, I was talking to one of the producers, Alan Covert, and he said, it's a great movie. It's a funny movie. I saw it, and I think it's awesome. And he said, just don't read... He's like, you don't have to read the reviews. He goes, you got to get used to the way we do things. We have our fans, and they love it, and that's who we make movies for.
Right.
And it works, obviously. I mean, I'm sure the deal was crazy. I don't know the numbers on it, but like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's where, you know, he was on, I think Sandler was on Ellen the other day, and he talked about how his kids won't watch his movies, but he's like, you know what? That's okay. I don't need everybody to watch it. I just need a certain number of people to watch it. And I have a lot of people who love this kind of comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's again, when you're on set, you can't stop laughing. You can't. It's extremely fun set. He kind of shifts things around in the way he sees things, and their guys, like I said, it's all in house, and it's fun to operate.
The movie, again, by the way, is called Sandy Wexler. It is available on Netflix starting this Friday. We're talking to our friend actor Lamorne Morris here on the phone. We want to ask you about a couple other things, Lamorne, while we have you on the line, not the least of which is, get any basketball jerseys handed to you in person by players lately?
I did. I got the luxury of sitting on the floor at the Hawks. I'm shooting this movie right now in Atlanta called Game Night. And producer Mark Fisher, he hooked it up for us, me and a buddy of mine. And Kyrie Irving, I'm a big Cavs fan, so Kyrie Irving, you know, every time he ran down the court, we're cheering LeBron, we're cheering. But we're the only two Cavs fans on the floor.
Right.
And so at the end of the game, when the refs made a bunch of terrible calls, the Cavs lost. So Kyrie Irving, out of disgust, took his jersey off. I'd like to say handed it to me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But he threw it.
He sort of
tossed it at your face.
Tossed it, and it was probably going to hit me in the face, but I got swift arms.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, Lamorne. Apologies. Yeah.
We forgot you were an athlete also.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Lamorne, let me ask you a question, because there was one time where I was lucky enough to sit on the in the front row on the court, and I yelled at a ref when Shaq was playing with the Lakers, and I said, "They're all over him, ref!" And the ref turned to me and said, "No, they're not." And I was shocked. I mean, I know that. I understand they're right there. I get it, like, mentally. But the fact that it's not them out there and me completely separate and he's interacting with me, that just was the weirdest thing that's ever happened. And he didn't even toss me a jersey.
That's amazing.
Are you going to wash it?
No, I'm not going to wash it. It stinks really bad.
I think you should maybe wash it.
Maybe wash.
Yeah.
Well, see, I don't know. Doesn't that take away from the authenticity of it?
No.
No, it just makes it clean.
It still is.
Yeah, and that way you can wear it that way, dude. Which, how cool would that be?
Oh, what a nerd. If he's wearing it, come on.
Wear it?
No.
Here's what I'm thinking. If I get Kyrie to sign it, how's he going to know this is the one that he took off? He might smell it and go, "Oh, that smells like me."
Oh, right? I see. That's keep my the DNA stain. Intact. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Then he signs
That's quite
it,
a plan.
And then I wash it.
All right. This isn't working at all.
And then you wear it.
All right. Last question, Lamorne. And I know you're sick of hearing this, and you're going to be sick of hearing it until the word comes down. But what's going on with the New Girl? I mean, there's talk that the season finale was the season finale. What do you hear? What do you know?
I don't know. I know as much as everyone else, and I swear to God on that one. We don't know until May. We would like for it to come back.
You want to come back?
It's a fun group. Yeah, I mean it's fun. It's fun to go to work with people you know and your friends, and the fans still love the show. They still enjoy the show.
Look,
so.
The writing is super sharp. It's a good show, and I hope it does come back for season 7.
So do I. I hope it comes back for season 8 and 9.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, keep us posted on that, Lamorne. We always love catching up with you. And good luck with Sandy Wexler. It opens I keep saying opens like it's in a theater, but this is the new movie with a star-studded cast, but you'll only find it on Netflix starting this Friday, April 14th. Always great to talk to you, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Take it easy. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
It is Ralph Garman time.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Right?
What are we going to do if we can't stop him from being a dick to the guests now, too?
Who are you talking about?
Who do you think we're talking about?
I have no idea.
You started off your interview with Lamorne Morris, very funny, talented actor from New Girl in this new film.
Who we love.
I love Lamorne, yeah.
You started off the interview, first words, by saying, "This movie has the best cast of a movie that I'm never going to watch."
Okay.
And no, not okay. That's my point. Not okay.
Look.
Insulting.
Are these Adam Sandler movies for me? Come on.
Look, the point is,
if
we're having Lamorne on and he's a friend of ours, which he is, we're nice to him. You don't have to say
nice to him.
Hold on.
Did I say he was bad or that he shouldn't have done it or that I hope it's not successful?
But
I didn't say any of those
things. You
pooped
on the project by saying you have no intention of watching it.
Oh, they don't need me. Netflix has
But they don't need to know that they don't need you either. You can just be quiet. You can say, "Wow, what a cast this is in." And you know who else is in this movie? Our friend Lamorne Morris.
Look,
leave you out of it.
Yeah, I wish the whole project nothing but success.
Right, it sounds like it.
It does. I'm not saying a word against it. It's just not. It's not for me.
Right, but
that's
not
all I'm saying.
Here's what we're saying: if we're going to start a conversation with somebody, it being not for you is irrelevant. Mm-hmm. Don't bring it up. Because it's super negative.
Right. By pulling your endorsement, by saying you have no intention of watching it, that gives a negative connotation.
But nobody cares whether I like it or not.
It's your show, goddammit!
But nobody cares whether I like it.
Well, he did, because he called you an idiot for saying
that. And he was right.
Not cool.
Look, I love Lamorne. I hope the movie is a huge success. Let me know how it is.
That's what Lamorne said to you.
That doesn't help. Allie, was I rude or mean to Lamorne Morris?
I think you meant it in a funny way. And
of course I did.
And thankfully, he got that and like laughed along with it. But if it was a project he was proud of, that probably could have gone a very different way.
Look, it's an Adam Sandler movie. How proud of it can he be?
What's wrong with you?
What?
What's wrong with you?
I'm just...
But hey, but he's a really cool guy that comes on our show and is a
terrific
really
actor.
So shut the F up.
He's funny. I love him.
You're it's
his project. Regardless of what you think of it, that's what he's selling.
Just keep it to yourself. Okay. We do that all the time. We watch something and then we don't even admit we watch it if we hate it because we're trying to be nice to our guests.
Right. So you don't have to pass judgment on something if it's negative if you're having the guy on to do him, you know, to have a good interview, a good time.
Because we would like Lamorne to come on again.
As would I. Look, I will take your notes. Thank
you. Can we call Lamorne back?
I'm just shocked that he didn't ask Lamorne about Mr. Ferguson, the cat from The New Girl that Bean swears was also in the cast of Get Out.
I did forget about that. I'm very curious.
That was very odd.
Yeah. Well, we had Jordan Peele on to talk about the film, his first time as a writer director in a smash hit debut film.
Right.
One of Bean's questions was, was that cat the same cat from the one from New Girl? Are you goddamn kidding me?
Look, inquiring minds want to know.
No, I don't think so. I think it's just you.
You're like an autistic guy eating pudding at a home.
I'm doing the best I can, you guys. I'm playing hurt, remember?
Oh, my God.
Don't forget, I still got the hand.
Sure.
You don't have the hand. You know, we really did lose a hand.
Who?
Luke Skywalker. Oh, yeah. Remember that?
Sure.
Lightsaber. Yeah. Took it right off there at the nub. Right. Here's the thing. When you get cut off with a lightsaber, when the limb gets cut off, I'm assuming because of the enormous power of the lightsaber that it cauterizes the end
just
of
clean.
It's clean. It cauterizes the end of the wound and seals that off for you.
So there's no bleeding.
It doesn't seem like there's ever any blood when someone loses a limb from a lightsaber. Because remember when Obi-Wan at the cantina, too, took off that dude's arm? Just seems like you just seals it up for you. That's nice. That's a nice byproduct.
It's
nice.
It's a good feature.
Of the lightsaber.
I mean, you're down an arm, but it's not bleeding.
Right?
You look on the bright
side. I would think that'd be the worst part.
The bleeding
Losing the arm is bad.
Right.
But I would think gushing blood, fountains of blood afterwards would be worse.
Fountains of blood, by the way.
If I look over and go, oh, crap, my arm's gone. But as long as there wasn't gushing blood everywhere, I think I could handle it better. I would be more panicked if I saw blood, is what I'm saying.
Okay. Is this going someplace?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Luke Skywalker himself was on television this morning. He was on Good Morning America along with his, I don't know, girlfriend, daughter, granddaughter.
It's going to be
Jedi's boning. We don't know yet. We haven't seen the new movie.
It's not going to be girlfriend.
There's going to be boning.
No.
Jedi boning.
No.
Luke Bonewalker, they're going to call him in this
no,
movie.
They won't.
Yes.
They most certainly will not.
It was Daisy Ridley and Mark Hamill joining forces to do something nice. It's called Star Wars Force for Change, and what they do is they use Star Wars stuff as an incentive to get people to donate money to really worthy fundraising charity campaigns, like for benefit UNICEF and the Starlight Children's Foundation in this particular case. And they went on Good Morning America to talk about Omaze.com, which they often work with. And if you go there and you just, it's like buying a lottery ticket. It's a minimal amount of money you spend. You could win some amazing prizes. Here's Luke Skywalker and his boning girlfriend to talk about.
So we've teamed back up with Omaze to give you a chance to win a new Star Wars experience every week of the campaign.
including an overnight stay at Skywalker Ranch, a chance to appear in the upcoming Han Solo movie, and my personal favorite, a trip to LA to join me and the cast at the world premiere of Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Enter any week and you're in the running to win the grand prize, all three of these incredible once-in-a-lifetime experiences.
So you can get any of those, or you can do all three of them.
That's pretty cool.
The luckiest one. I got such a major crush on Daisy Ridley, too, by the way. She's something
She's
else.
Awesome.
She really is.
But does it seem to anyone else that she has the most British accent of any British accents ever?
It's pretty British.
It's deep, deep British.
Yeah.
It's a whole buttload of Brit.
More than Adele?
Yeah. Well, Adele's sort of East End. She's more Cockney. But this Daisy Ridley's a lost cast of old adorable. Play it again. Listen to her accent. It's the most British accent you've ever heard.
So we've teamed back up with Omaze to give you a chance to win a new Star Wars experience every week of the campaign.
Including an overnight stay at Skywalker Ranch, a chance to appear in the upcoming Han Solo movie, and my personal favorite, a trip to L.A. to join me and the cast at the world premiere of Star Wars.
It's very British.
Yeah.
She's the best. So enter now. Go to Omaze.com. / Star Wars, and then you can enter and maybe one of those cool prizes. I'd like to be in that Han Solo movie.
Yeah, imagine being in that. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. I'd like to be, I don't know, Steve Fett. Like not Boba, like the guy that comes before Boba, like Boba's dad.
Okay.
Steve.
Really?
Steve Fett.
Steve would name a son Boba?
You don't know. Han named his son Ben.
It's true.
Right?
Boba Fett.
Nope.
No. Not Baba.
Baba.
Boba Fett.
Not Boba. Boba.
I heard a guy say Boba Fett.
Stop saying Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Stop it.
Steve.
There you go.
Steve Fett. Be like, hey, Han, what's up? It's like, well, who's that your kid? I said, yeah, it's my kid, Baba. Today's celebrity birthdays. Joss Stone is 30 years old today. Alessandra Ambrosio, lovely and talented model, is 36. And Trisha Helfer, Cylon. Such a Cylon. She's 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, a moment with Bean. What's going on with New Girl? I mean, there's talk that the season finale was the season finale. What do you hear? What do you know?
That was A Moment with Bean.
Wait, you think the season finale might have been the season finale?
I don't know what that guy was talking about. But he should have differentiated season finale from series finale, is what he should have said.
Oh,
that
guy
sounds like he was confused.
Well, I hope that guy stays off the radio.
Certainly. That was fun, right?
Right.
So I was bad on both ends of the interview with LaBorne Morris, is what you guys are saying.
I mean,
bad going in, bad coming out.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, it's 9:38. It is Tuesday morning. Ralph has time for one more look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I've got our new guest that we need to book.
Our new guest.
If you don't mind me taking some on-air time to pitch something.
Okay.
I don't get a chance to talk to you guys off the air, so I have to take the advantage, you know.
By the way, you have every chance in the world to talk to us off the air, but you declined to.
Restraining order.
That's right. Ann Barham. Mm-hmm. Ann Barham. She is an author. But more importantly, she's a past life regression therapist.
Love it.
And she will teach you all you need to know about all the lives that you led before this one. I would love to know what each of you did in your previous lives. And whatever it was that sentenced you to this life. I would like to know.
I do too.
Right?
The reincarnation crowd believes that you die, but some essence of you then shows up in another body, a la A Dog's Purpose, the movie.
Only we're not
dogs.
No, but
people. The same sort of thing, though. It's the same spirit.
Only we're people, and it's not a movie.
It inhabits multiple bodies throughout the
years. I was Josh Gad.
He's still alive. He's got his own life going on. For example, she will tell you the true story of Christian Haupt, the 2-year-old baseball prodigy.
Okay.
Little Christian Haupt, 2 years old, could crack the ball, throw the ball, catch the ball, unlike anything anyone had ever seen. And that's when he started sharing vivid memories of a life he never lived. It was, in fact, the life of Lou Gehrig. Right?
That's a freaky story. That kid knew a lot about Lou Gehrig.
Wait, a two-year-old? This is real?
Yeah,
yes,
what's real?
True story. Christian Haupt.
That's, yeah. But a two-year-old's not talking.
No, but he can, Allie. Like, hate Babe Ruth and things like that, though. That's what happened.
What?
The kid hated Babe Ruth.
Oh, he would go to the candy store and say, "I'm not eating that one."
No, but that's one of the ways that his mom realized that he was the reincarnation of the great Lou Gehrig is that he hated Babe Ruth and would like make faces at his picture and things like that.
I should have known
that Bean would know about this.
Of course,
this.
You should have known
this
that.
This is a story I came across cold. I had no idea. Bean's got all the backstory on the 2-year-old who hates Babe Ruth.
I've been following it. I like to stay
curious. You're not following anything. There's nothing to follow.
I am curious to see what happens next.
We're going to have to talk to him tomorrow.
The 2-year-old?
Yep.
2-year-old who hates Babe Ruth?
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, so Ann Barham, I think we should get her on the phone or get her in here. Yeah.
Like
she needs to find out what all you people were up to last time.
Is it instantaneous?
It was no goddamn good, I'll tell you that much.
Is it like instant?
Yes,
or is there like
she waves a wand
therapy.
And she throws some glitter on you and then puts a jade egg in your hoo-ha.
What?
All right.
Okay.
Go on.
I don't know exactly how she does it.
Well,
I don't know how.
Does she need
past
like
life
weeks?
Therapy is quick and enduring, she says.
Can we get her on?
That's I think Ralph's that was saying. Ralph's first
Holy
question.
My. What the?
Great idea.
Hey, we should get her on.
I think we should, Kevin.
Thank you.
But guys, let me ask you
or
this.
Or maybe we can find someone else who could come in here and tell everybody.
Okay, I'm down for that as well.
And maybe she's, I bet she's not the only one. I bet there are other people.
Yeah, a local person maybe.
Maybe.
Sure.
Someone can
I
stop
like
by.
It. But when you guys have ever seen somebody go through this or talk about it or you read about somebody's experience, they were always freaking Cleopatra. There's never anybody who says, yeah, in my last life, I was a guy who was a bricklayer and I died of alcoholism at 35. Nobody ever has a sad backstory. That leads me to believe that these people are just telling you what you want to hear to pump
you
up.
Like, I feel like at least one of us will have a sad backstory.
And which one of us would that be?
I really do.
Who do you guess? If anybody died of alcoholism and was murdered in their sleep by
Come
an angry
now.
Wife, who do you think it would be? Right? No one's pointing a finger?
Nope.
No one's naming names?
Nope.
How about if someone died in a bag in the desert? Would you know who that person would be?
I think
yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. What's the weirdest thing you ever did to attract someone's attention?
Weirdest thing you ever did to attract someone's attention?
Did you ever
attention?
Do anything bold to try to get over on a lady, trying to get her attention, trying to capture her heart, Kevin?
I don't.
Or her vagina, or whatever you're trying to capture at the moment?
I don't remember anything like that.
Helen Hunt had an admission. She was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. And she said when she was a kid, she was working on the same studio lot as Rick Springfield was when he was on General Hospital.
Yeah.
And back in the 80s, she had a wild crush on Rick Springfield. So she got so bold at one point she left a note on his car with her phone number.
And a candy bar?
Offering herself up. And she said, somehow through all the years, he has managed not to call me. She said.
What a surprise.
Yes, so didn't really work, but good for her for taking the first step, right?
Sure. Why not?
It's no candy bar on the front porch, but what are you going to do? And Vin Diesel and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, everyone's saying they've got a very dicey relationship. That they had a falling out while making The Fate of the Furious.
Yeah, I feel like The Rock was really, like, publicly sniping on him, right?
He came out and said his female co-stars were great. One of the male co-stars was a candy ass.
Wonder who that could be.
And they haven't been showing up together to do any press. They've always been at separate events. So Vin Diesel was finally asked about that. And he told USA Today that everything's fine. The world doesn't realize how close we are, he said.
That is true. The world doesn't realize that they're close at all.
He said, my kids refer to him as Uncle Dwayne.
That is not true.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson only has one big brother in this film world, and that's me, he said.
Wow.
And then he later went on to say, as the first multiracial movie star, I am encouraged to see another one like Dwayne come along and benefit off of what the path that I have created.
No.
Yeah.
Like he paved the
yes.
way. Oh, you're gross, Vin Diesel.
And Dwayne Johnson's the biggest movie star in the world.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel, not so much.
Vin Diesel has been walking down this road for a long time.
Yeah.
Where he loves him some him.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
Oh, that's such a big liar.
He hasn't really done anything to dispel any of these rumors about a bad relationship between the two of those with this most recent interview. But I thought it was really creepy how he said, as the first multiracial star.
What a D-bag.
I root for other multiracial action stars like Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Chuck Berry had something to say about that, didn't he?
Did he?
Didn't
he?
I don't know if you can smell that far.
Today's celebrity birthdays. You know it's forever, right, Bean? You know it's a keeper, right?
I am no longer going to comment on how offended I am by the use of that drum. Maybe you'll just get bored with it.
He said during the break, and I quote, I'm not happy with the farting. I said, Bean, that's why they're doing it.
He's slow. He doesn't realize that when he's unhappy, that makes that exosonic.
But
are
also,
you,
Chuck
jotting
Berry.
That down, Chip, also, for a drop? How
also,
dare you?
Also Chuck Berry.
Oh.
Today's.
You can smell that for
celebrity birthdays. Joss Stone is 30. Alessandra Ambrosio is 36 years old today. And actress Tricia Helfer, probably know her best as the evil Cylon from Battlestar Galactica, or Bartlestar Galactica.
Yeah, either one.
One too. She's 43 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Thank you. All the SoCal helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home at 5 p.m. today on the world-famous K-Rock. Tomorrow morning, it is Wednesday morning. That means we've got the Wheel of Bad Animal voices.
Yay!
We're also going to talk hockey playoffs with Ryan Getzloff.
Woo!
Ducks!
Comedian Jonah Ray in studio, and we've got your 3-day passes for Coachella Weekend 2 tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.